I did save something for this, just to be special.
Is that a fortune cookie?
This will set the whole mood. We'll see. That's exactly what it is. We'll crack a fortune cookie, and it'll just give us a little guidance into how today is going to go. Absolutely.
Okay.
Ooh, you will receive some prestigious prize or award within the month. Heyo, are we up for a Webby?
That is pretty good.
I think so. Now I get a fortune cookie.
All right, let's jump into this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Unsolved Dimension. I'm one of your hosts today, Adam, and alongside me is Isaiah.
What is going on, everybody?
And Jamin.
Good morning, USA! We're back again.
Today, we're going to be taking a little dive into the Bermuda Triangle. One of the most infamous conspiracy theories out there.
Oh yeah.
The Bermuda Triangle.
So I've heard about the Bermuda Triangle. Is it just like, I always thought it was just like a fake thing, like a Atlantis, but are people actually getting lost in this triangle thing?
Yeah.
This is a real thing. I thought it was like kind of like Davy Jones locker or some shit. I don't know.
It is. It's kind of on that same level because it's not a place that's recognized by the U.S. It's not like an actual place on a map. It's the triangle that's between Florida, Cuba, and Bermuda. But it's that triangle. It's that area that some things have taken place, and we're going to dive into those. So that's where the approach today that we're going to kind of take is there's a lot that has gone on with the Bermuda Triangle for the last 500 years. That's not an exaggeration, as you'll see. And there's so many stories, but we're just going to kind of dive into a number of notable ones. A few that we think have some interesting tales behind them and kind of take that route. So there's still going to be, there's so much out there that we couldn't go through all of it, but there's enough that we're able to pick some stories that we think are going to be pretty interesting and try to dive into what caused these situations, these disasters, travesties.
Tragedies
out in the Bermuda Triangle. And I think Adam's going to kind of kick us off with a little history here.
So let me tell you a little bit about the Bermuda Triangle.
Well, tell me, Adam.
Yeah. You want to know?
Oh, I really do.
So it is this area of ocean located in the North Atlantic between Bermuda to the north, Puerto Rico to the south, and Florida to the west.
Ah, it wasn't Cuba. It was Puerto Rico. So close.
Yeah, I mean, close. The exact area of ocean that the Bermuda Triangle is kind of up in the air. Covers roughly around 500,000 square miles of ocean all the way to 1.5 million square miles. So either way, a lot of fucking ocean.
Wow.
Lot of water.
The deepest point in the Atlantic Ocean is located within the Bermuda Triangle, and it's called the Milwaukee Depth. It's 27,493 feet deep, and it's located at the western end of the Puerto Rican Trench, which is about 1,100 miles long and 60 miles wide.
That's pretty deep.
It is rather deep. And the Bermuda Triangle goes by several other names as well. I mean, none as famous as the Bermuda Triangle, but it's also known as the Devil's Triangle, Hurricane Alley, and the Deadly Triangle.
The Devil's Triangle.
The Bermuda Triangle didn't really come into existence until 1964 when Vincent Gaddis wrote an article called The Deadly Bermuda Triangle in the Argosy magazine. So the Bermuda Triangle has claimed thousands of lives over the past however many years. There's no exact number, and it's kind of up in the air on how many it's actually killed, but there is a claim that it has killed over 8,000 people, either through death or disappearance, since the mid-19th century. Some have even said that it averages about 4 planes disappearing and 20 boats disappearing a year in that region, which, I mean, there's not a whole lot of facts behind that. It's just what some people say.
I feel like it'd be on the news, you know, if someone disappeared on a plane.
It is in the news, but that kind of brings me to my next point of the Bermuda Triangle does not have any higher amount of disappearances than any other section of the ocean. I mean, what really makes this region so notorious then? People travel through it a lot without incident. I mean, it's one of the most traveled sections of the ocean because Americans like to travel and go to the Caribbean, and they travel through there all the time.
It's a very popular, cruise ship route, as well as shipping containers A lot of traffic right through there. It's just the situations that take place, the weird occurrences that happen with the disappearances that really gives it a name rather than just being another part of the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the most traveled shipping lanes in the world. And even the World Wildlife Fund conducted a study in 2013 of maritime shipping lanes and found that the Bermuda Triangle region was not even on the top 10 most dangerous shipping lanes. So, is it dangerous? Are there disappearances?
Do you say Caribbean, Caribbean, or Caribbean?
Well, that last one's wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Caribbean.
Where did that?
It's a bean.
Oh, I haven't thought of it that way.
I don't know. I think it can go either way. Caribbean or Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Otherwise, I say Caribbean.
Yep, same.
Where did that come from, though?
What?
Like,
what do you mean?
I'm going to start calling Pirates of the Caribbean, you know?
Saying the name of Pirates of the Caribbean, it's Caribbean. If I'm talking about the place to go for a fire festival, that's the Caribbean. No, wait, Caribbean.
No, the Caribbean.
Caribbean.
You confused yourself.
Oh, you played yourself.
And the U.S. government doesn't even recognize the Bermuda Triangle as a geographic location, a threat, or anything real. But one of the weirdest things that we kind of hinted at was just the manner in which a lot of these ships and planes go missing. A lot of them are just without any trace at all. No warnings, no nothing. They just disappear and are never seen from again. And there have been flights that have been reported getting to their destination quicker than they should have.
They must fly Delta. They always show up early and it drives me crazy. My ride's not going to be there yet.
Maybe it's like a little speed boost in the triangle.
It could be anything.
But the travel times are pretty much just said to be a little unpredictable within the Bermuda Triangle.
That's something you like your captain to say. We will be there between 15 and 2 hours. We really don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. We might get lost. We might just get abducted by aliens. Who knows? So, now we're going to take a little bit of a dive into some of the notable disappearances of ships and planes. And the first one is Christopher Columbus. He didn't disappear or anything, but there's just some weird things. So when he was traveling through the Bermuda Triangle, he wrote accounts of weird events happening in the region. And the most notable event was basically a fireball crashing into the ocean. And he also had different accounts of compasses not working and stuff like that. But the fireball was pretty much the coolest one. So
was it a meteor?
That's what they think. So the thing with Christopher Columbus is those journals and the logs, the ship logs that we have, are not technically his. So they're all written by Bartolomé de las Casas. Bartolomé de las Casas. That's it. So he was the real author for all of Christopher's logs and journals that we refer to today, because he wasn't on the ships, but his dad and uncle traveled with Christopher Columbus on his second travel, on his second journey to the New World. And Bartolomé, that's right. He edited Columbus's travel journals. It's not like he's just making them up. He edited them, so he was kind of the author of the journals. But we don't have the originals, so we've got his that we've going off of.
So who knows what's being put in there?
Yeah.
He could have been trying his career at writing and been like, ooh, this will make a good story.
And that's where this report comes from regarding that ball of fire that they saw. Columbus's journals read, "They sailed that day and night 27 leagues and a few more on their route west. And on this night, at the beginning of it, they saw a marvelous branch of fire fall from the sky into the sea, distant from them 4 or 5 leagues. So, it sounds kind of doom and gloom. Definitely something that was notable. Giant ball of fire falling from the sky.
I would say so.
I mean, this one's written off as a meteor, but he's got that second a second occurrence that they actually witnessed.
There also is a lot of people that think it could have been ball lightning.
Oh yeah, I did hear
that. Not a meteor. Ball lightning is something where lightning in the sky forms a sphere and it stays around like a longer period than just the normal flash lightning. It kind of almost looks like it's just floating in the air, this ball of lightning.
Yeah. It could be anything. They're out at sea, they're exhausted, and then they see this marvelous branch of fire fall from the sky. So that's pretty cool. It'd be fun. And then they had a second situation that they recorded in their log. I'm going to just kind of sum this one up. It's very clearly written out where they see in the distance what looks like a candle. It looks like they see a candle rising up off of the horizon. And it's unidentified. They don't know what that one is either. So another unidentified flying object.
UFO.
Oh, technically, that's what I just said. You just did the acronym for it. Teamwork makes a dream work. And they still haven't found land yet. But this was 4 hours before they made landfall of the New World on their first journey over. So some say that it was just one of the islands off the coast that they saw, maybe a reflection or maybe even fire on it. But another thing that they don't know what it was. An orb flying from the horizon up into the sky.
I bet it was aliens. Had to be.
Had to be.
I mean, I don't know what else it could have been. Maybe someone shooting a flare.
It's a giant meatball.
Oh my gosh, it would be terrifying to be on this. One thing that Columbus did is, no matter where they were on their journey, he would always tell them they're approaching halfway to try to keep the crew from freaking out from passing halfway. And then they go like, wait, we've traveled twice as far as we did at halfway. So Columbus, he had a couple tricks in his sleeve to keep from a mutiny.
They didn't want to fall off the edge of the earth.
They were probably like, Columbus, are we there yet? Just fucking bothering him. And he's like, we're halfway. Just shut up.
Be there when we get there.
I will turn this ship around.
You promise? Can we?
So Columbus was just kind of one of the first times weird occurrences were documented. But now we're going to kind of get into the actual disappearances and the different situations that surround them. The first one was the USS Cyclops. It's one of the Navy's biggest fuel ships, and it just went missing without a trace or even a warning. It occurred in March of 1918. It was sailing from Brazil to Baltimore through the Bermuda Triangle, and it was carrying about 10,000 tons of manganese ore and around 300 crew members. There was only one message sent from the ship that day, but there was no indication of any problems or any situation that was going on the ship. There were no distress calls made, and there were a lot of other ships in the area that had apparently been radioing to the ship, but they got no response from anyone on the ship. And then the ship just disappeared without a trace. There was no wreckage, no bodies, nothing has ever been located. The Navy even conducted an investigation and didn't find anything and could not provide a reason for the disappearance. Still stands as the single largest loss of life not involving combat in the Navy's history.
I think there's a couple little details that come into play when it comes to what they were shipping, the captain, and the ship itself. So the Calypso, it was normally, the crew was familiar with transporting coal, typically.
Cyclops.
Oh, wait, the Calypso. Hey, Calypso, the places you've been to. So the ship, the Cyclops, I'm an idiot. Cyclops, their crew normally transported coal, and they always have. But for this journey, they were doing, as Adam mentioned, manganese, which is much denser and heavier. So this is the first time they're moving it, and there were a couple concerns with the way that they were transporting it that might have caused issues during the final leg across Bermuda, because the ship did make a quick stop at Barbados, where they discovered two items that raised a little concern for the Cyclops. The crew was familiar with transporting coal, so the heavier and denser manganese might have caused some issues. The cargo was reportedly stacked high and should have been more evenly dispersed. So the way that they were transporting it, it was already cause for concern. But then the big red flag that I found was the water was over the ship's plimsoll line. And the plimsoll line is the line that's supposed to stay above the water to show that the ship wasn't overloaded. That was not above water. It doesn't say how much it was underwater, but it was a little too heavy. Just from the reports the Barbados dock hands reported. From what the Barbados dock manager reported? I don't know. Someone in Barbados.
Just someone in Barbados said this.
And like I mentioned with the captain, he was not very liked by the crew. He would consistently run around on the deck with a cane in his underwear, barking orders, and people didn't like that. Actually, by the time he got to Barbados, he already had two of his seamen in the shipping hold for trying to mutiny, take over the ship.
It's disgusting.
It's kind of impressive. Only two of them?
Yeah. But maybe somewhere after Barbados. Oh my gosh. Wow. Ding.
You just didn't
so,
get it.
Yeah, maybe somewhere after their stop at Barbados, their crew decided they wanted some help. Yeah, real sticky situation. So the final piece of evidence that is a little bit of more extra info for this one is the sister ships that the Cyclops had. So sister ships are ships that are nearly identical to each other. If there was a structural flaw in one, it would probably be on the others. The USS Cyclops had three sister ships, the USS Jupiter, the USS Nereus, and the USS Proteus. The USS Jupiter, it was sunk by Japan during the war, so that's out of the way. We can't look at that one. But the other two, we can take a look at what happened to them, and maybe it has a little more information of what happened to Cyclops. So the two remaining ships actually ended up sinking near the Bermuda Triangle years later. In the 1940s, both ships were carrying ore and met a fate nearly identical to the Cyclops. So I think,
I think the ship might have just been a little faulty.
I think it might have just been a bit too heavy. And that's something that we're going to dig into is like the weather patterns out there. Maybe they got hit with some wave that submerged them. And they're too heavy to just come out the other side.
You get a little water in there, and that 10,000 tons, it's going to be sinking pretty quick.
Yeah, and especially if you have it stacked up tall, and suddenly you fall over to one side, and you're rolling. We don't really know what happened to the Cyclops. It could have sunk. It could have been picked up and taken away. It could have sunk.
Too much semen.
So we're going to move over it.
Just the fact that they never found anything. No evidence or anything.
Yeah, no lifeboats or anything.
Especially with the deepest part of the Atlantic Ocean there.
Yeah, and with that deepest part, that's what's kind of fun nowadays, is within the last 20, 30 years, we're finally getting the technology to get closer and closer to the bottom of this thing and actually take a look at what's down there. Still haven't found any Cyclopses.
Nope. There have been other ships that have been found that were part of the Bermuda Triangle disappearances that they found later on when they had a little more technology. That kind of takes us into Flight 19. So we have our first plane disappearance. On December 5th, 1945, there were five TBM Avenger torpedo bombers that took off from the Naval Air Station in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for a training mission. And this flight was run by Lieutenant Charles Taylor, and he was taking 13 student pilots with him. So there was a total of 14 pilots. Later, kind of in the mission, there are several times where he radioed in, and he was telling them that his compasses had stopped working, and that he thought they were somewhere over the Florida Keys, but they just kept getting further and further away from where they thought they were.
The Florida Keys is nowhere near where they needed to be. That is so far off course.
And they were just lost. But he was an experienced pilot. So, I mean, there are reports of some questionable things with him, but he was experienced nonetheless. Later that night, there was nothing else heard from the planes, and they disappeared without a trace, and the planes have never been located. Then, a rescue plane was sent with 13 men to go find them, and it also disappeared. It only radioed in once before vanishing. And the official Navy report said it was as if they had flown to Mars because they could find no signs of any of the aircraft. I'm pretty sure they said that they couldn't even make a guess at to where they went.
And wow. I thought I had bad teacher. You just took them out into the middle of the ocean.
I mean, that's from the Navy. Like, come on. You can't even guess.
Experience doesn't always mean good at their job, though.
And that's a great point, because something with Lieutenant Charles Taylor is he was known for liking his bottle a little more than other people.
Yeah.
The day that this training was scheduled, he was reported notably hungover. Like, he was not having a good morning. So did the lieutenant kill the student pilots because he lost his bearings after dozing off? Well, we just want to reach out to everybody out there. If you find yourself looking for a drink over a loved one, don't be afraid to ask for help. There's people out there. Just want to throw that out there. But with Lieutenant Charles Taylor, it might have been too late. He was flying from the coast of Florida east, and he reported having issues with the compass, and he didn't know where he was. He thought he was over the Florida Keys, which is south of Florida, nowhere near. If they're over the Florida Keys, they are going the completely wrong direction. But that's where he thought he was in the Gulf and not the Atlantic, so he started flying deeper into the Atlantic if he thought he had to go right instead of going left. That sounded confusing. Did that? But
yeah,
he went the opposite way. Okay.
But yeah, I think there's some radio transmissions that some of the students were telling him that they needed to go this way, and he was just like, no, we need to go the other way.
Yeah, one of the five planes even left him trying to get back, and that one disappeared still. It was to the point where no one knew what to do. They're all just lost up in the sky.
Do compasses work on an airplane?
They do.
Really?
Well, why wouldn't they work on an airplane?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just wondering.
They're moving too fast. They can't figure out where north is.
But it was just a little fishy, too, though, that the rescue plane disappeared as well. Where'd that thing go?
That's another item that's just strange. There's no reason that should have gone anywhere. It's a rescue plane.
Except there are some claims that the weather was really good, but people say that it actually wasn't, and that there were waves as high as 50 feet during the flight. So maybe the weather wasn't as good as they said it was.
It's Florida. The weather changes every 30 minutes. I said, why are you just picking your nose?
Because I can't breathe.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you guys have small nasal passageways? Because I gotta pick them because I can't breathe if I don't pick them.
This sounds like something your dad told you that might not
no,
be
No, this
real.
Is my own conclusion.
Isaiah, you need to talk to a real doctor. You stop diagnosing yourself.
So this next one is kind of what I think to be one of the weirdest ones, because it was a vessel called the Witchcraft. And on December 22nd, 1967, this 23-foot cabin cruiser that was literally built to be unsinkable disappeared without a trace. Never found anything, no wreckage, no lifesavers, what are they called?
Are they candy?
Lifeguards.
Life vests.
They didn't have any candy?
So the ship had left from Miami and was only 1 mile offshore when the captain, Dan Barak, who, he was an experienced captain, radioed to the Coast Guard that the ship had hit something. There wasn't really much damage, but he had still requested a tow back to the shore. I mean, he was only a mile offshore, and the Coast Guard got there around 20 minutes later, and there was just no sign of the ship at all. Not even any life-saving devices like the life jackets or lifeboats that were aboard this ship. So that's a little weird. I mean,
it's a little fishy.
A mile offshore, and the things that are designed to float were not floating. And this ship that was built to be unsinkable, it had a flotation device built into the ship, like into the hull of the ship. And so even if it was completely full of water, it could still float. Even if the ship like broke in two or something, that part should have still been floating. And they searched for the next couple of days, several hundreds of square miles of the ocean, and just found no signs of the ship or the passengers, and still haven't found them. So.
And this one wasn't that long ago. When did this one happen?
1967.
Oh, this was a minute ago. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit ago.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, it's just a weird situation. 19 minutes for the Coast Guard to get there, and then it's just gone.
The Coast Guard radioed them to, okay, shoot up a flare. I got your location. I'll be there in a minute. Just as a distress signal. But the flare never went up, and the boat was gone. And everyone was gone. There's no sign of anybody. Where did everybody go?
There was two of them on there, so... Only two, but...
Oh, so it was a murder-suicide situation. Oh!
Maybe.
They were all cannibals. They all ate each other.
There are several theories behind the disappearances in the Bermuda Triangle, and maybe we'll be able to draw some connections between these and what happened to those notable disappearances that we discussed earlier. So, one of the first of these theories is that there is a wormhole or a black hole or whatever you want to call it in the Bermuda Triangle. And that's one of the reasons people think maybe the flight times are shorter than they should be. Maybe they enter a black hole or a wormhole and...
Or an X point. And this is one of those magnetic fields where it's like a little black hole of magnetic field. That's where the compasses are all messed up. Bigfoot spawned in. Throwback joke.
There you go. And... So some people think it might be some kind of gateway to another universe or dimension, and that's where these ships go, or planes. They just completely disappear without a trace because they enter a black hole. I don't know a whole lot about black holes, but I don't know if we would if this world would be here if there was a black hole in the Bermuda Triangle.
No, we wouldn't. happy. We wouldn't be doing great.
So another one that is kind of more of a natural reason are water spouts. And a water spout is basically a tornado over water. Not exactly, but kind of. There's two different types of them. One is a lot more deadly and destructive than the other. The first is the tornadic. So like a tornado forms over land and then moves out over the water. And they can be extremely destructive. But then the other is a fair weather water spout, and it starts out over the water, and they develop at the surface of the water and then climb skyward because of the warm water and humidity.
Hey, didn't that spider go up the water spout?
He did go up a water spout.
That's impressive. Very impressive.
These fair weather water spouts, though, are usually small. And they're not really that dangerous, and they only last anywhere from like 2 to 20 minutes, but they are much more common than the tornadic ones. But the Bermuda Triangle, I don't know if any of them are tornadic, because there's not many tornadoes, I don't think, in Florida.
I haven't seen any.
I mean, not me. I haven't.
I've definitely seen some, I've seen some pretty cool pictures of hurricanes coming in with tornadoes right on the edge of it, but
to me, that one doesn't really seem...
Like, you know what I bet it is? Sharknado.
Oh,
I never thought about that. That could be it.
Based off a true story.
So the next one is that the magnetic forces causing compasses to malfunction. Said to be maybe a hole in the Earth's electromagnetic forces. But this is also an area that true north and magnetic north line up. And it's called Agonic Line. It's apparently one of the two places on Earth where compasses will point to true north instead of magnetic north. Which is one of the reasons it can cause the compasses to malfunction. But there's a little problem with this theory because the Agonic Line is always shifting, and it has been through the Bermuda Triangle, but now I think it's located in the Gulf of Mexico, so it's no longer in the Bermuda Triangle.
That's so weird. And that might have been one of the issues that caused Columbus to have his issues with directions, because they pulled up the compass, and looking at the North Star and looking at their compass was saying that north was a little more west than it should have been. And then they said, we'll check again at dawn. They checked again at dawn, and it realigned itself. So they just kind of continued. And that's near the end of the voyage, going through the Bermuda Triangle, when the people were ready to mutiny. He's like, I think we're going in the right direction. We'll check again in a few hours. Just praying is not going to piss off his entire crew and lose his boats.
For me, even with the compasses malfunctioning, there had to have been something else then that just makes them disappear.
And we just mentioned three. There are so many reportable cases out there.
Yeah, and one of those other reasons that maybe these ships and planes disappear is that there's a lot of methane in the Atlantic Ocean floor in some spots. And some think that there are these big explosions maybe under the ocean from the methane gas. The bubbles that rise to the surface changes the density of the water, and it causes the ships to sink.
Well, that's terrifying. It's a sinkhole for the ocean.
Basically.
That would suck. Well, what if that's how you get to the bottom super quickly? What if we're just not using those strategically? What if we could just like drop straight down, not have nearly as much pressure? There's no math backing this up.
No.
Don't quote me on this.
And they've never really even proven it to be possible. I mean, in theory. But
What's in a fart?
What's in a fart? I think it's methane.
It's Poseidon's fart.
Oh, yep.
Yep.
That's it.
That sounds scientific to me. But yeah, in theory, this should work, but it's never really been proven to actually work. So,
you know, maybe it's just the sewage line from an underwater city.
Oh, maybe like Atlantis? Isaiah, I feel like this is going to be your favorite.
Wait, hang on, real quick, before we go over that. All right, have you guys ever had a Poseidon's kiss?
No.
I don't know.
Do you know?
Yeah, I'm
going to
go with
is?
I don't know. I'm going to go with no. I'm going to go with no and I don't know.
So it's when you're taking a deuce and that deuce splashes up and touches your asshole. It's called a Poseidon's kiss.
Okay, well, maybe. Maybe.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
I just call that a good morning hello.
But Isaiah, I think you're going to like this next theory.
Okay.
Atlantis. That is the reason for these disappearances.
Honestly, it's there. I don't even know what Atlantis is.
What? The lost city of Atlantis?
Yeah, like, I thought that was...
Plato's, right? It was Plato.
Yeah, Plato.
Oh, I always thought that was the water guy. What's his name?
Aquaman.
Aquaman's home. I thought it was made up.
I think it is.
Is it?
Everything that you're saying is true.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have it. It's in a storybook written by a famous author named Plato.
Yeah. Oh. So, yeah.
I think he owes me money.
So,
give me back my money.
The reason this theory is popular, though, is because Charles Berlitz wrote a book called The Bermuda Triangle in 1974. And he claimed that Atlantis had something to do with all these mysterious disappearances. And he even thought that the city of Atlantis was itself a victim of the Bermuda Triangle. And that's why it's on the bottom of the ocean.
There you have it.
I wonder if they have a straw problem.
A what problem?
A straw problem in Atlantis.
Like, they run out of straws?
Like, what?
Like, they're Burger King?
No, like, they, it's messing with their turtles, where they're getting straws stuck in their nose.
What?
Yeah, I don't know, Jamin.
Straws. Remember when we had that huge campaign to, I still cut every six-pack plastic ring on my six-pack.
Me too.
Gotta save those turtles. Don't wanna. Yep. I saw too many penguins and turtles getting strangled by six-pack plastic rings.
I use them as handcuffs.
So Atlantis was a naval power and a fictional island in Plato's works, even though some people think it was a real island that mysteriously sunk and is now a city under the ocean. They were thought to be a civilization that was far beyond their years in regards to technology, and maybe this is how they were able to survive still under the sea. But the theory is that Atlantis basically abducts these ships and planes, and that the crew members are now citizens of Atlantis. I mean, this seems to be like the most plausible theory, right?
Have you guys ever seen Waterworld?
I haven't. I've seen the play. Not the play. I've seen the stunt show.
I have seen Waterworld.
Disney World or Universal or something?
Universal.
Yeah, that's cool too.
That was cool.
It's a good movie. You should watch it. I think it has a Kevin Costner in it.
Yeah,
oh, Kevin Costner, what a classic. I love the cast.
It's a great movie.
It's a really good movie.
All right.
Think
we'll
of
have
it
a watch
as
party.
Mad Max, but water.
So, I mean, that's basically all there is to the Atlantis one. I mean,
I want Atlantis to be there. The technology that Plato wrote about that Atlantis had and how advanced their society was sounds so cool. So I would love there to be an Atlantis, but I don't know if it's in Bermuda.
Let me see if I remember this right. Socrates, or
Socrates
taught Plato his smartness, and then Plato taught Alexander the Great.
Sure.
I don't know. Why?
Isn't that right? I'm pretty sure.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. I was just trying to remember that. I'm just making conversation. Damn. I just couldn't remember if that was right. I didn't know if it was Plato who taught Socrates and then taught Alexander the Great. I can't remember. I thought it might have been Socrates.
I mean, I have no idea.
Oh, Aristotle. Maybe it was Aristotle I'm thinking of. I don't know.
Would this be a conspiracy podcast without the inclusion of aliens? That's the next theory, that these disappearances are actually alien abductions. They just take the whole plane or the whole ship. And there have even been a lot of claims of UFO sightings in the Bermuda Triangle by many travelers. But I feel like everywhere has a lot of UFO sightings, so...
I mean, who hasn't seen a UFO these days?
UFOs are such just an open conversation now.
The last theory, and probably the most plausible, is that there's just no mystery at all. There's no theory. There's nothing weird about it.
Say it ain't so. Say it ain't so, Adam.
There's just a combination of human error, bad weather, and a very high concentration of ships and planes in the area.
But the aliens. Did you hear about the aliens?
I did, and I believe it.
Yay!
So the weather, there's thought to be what they call rogue waves, and they're supposedly able to get over 100 feet tall or more, and they would just completely destroy the ships, and even knocking planes out of the sky. And it's been claimed that the bigger the ship, the easier it is to cause it to sink, because the massive waves would just cause those huge ships to sink so easily, but maybe a smaller vessel could somehow almost ride out the wave or whatever it is, but...
Those big ships gotta crash through it. The little ones can just whoop, up and over. But those big behemoths, they're a different beast.
You know what I think it was?
What's your
Megalodon.
The shark?
He's out there. Yeah.
That is another theory.
He's out there. He's just freaking chomping on some ships and people out there.
He just swallows them.
Swallows them whole.
Jumps out, catches a plane, takes it down.
Yeah. Yep.
We're gonna need a bigger ship. Nobody ever says anything's wrong, because they don't even know it's wrong until they're gone.
It's too late.
Oh, it's too late. Yep.
But we all know there are a lot of hurricanes and tropical storms in this region. So maybe it's just bad weather. Could it be?
Could be.
That's boring. I don't like that one.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
Aliens! Back to the aliens!
A lot of these disappearances have been said to have occurred in calm conditions, but when you go back and look at the actual, like, weather reports during that time, it was not calm. But there is this thing called the Gulf Stream, and it's basically a giant river flowing through the ocean.
This is what that turtle in Nemo rode, right?
Yeah.
Gulf Maybe, string.
I think.
Oh,
I don't
radical.
Know. But it reaches from the Gulf of Mexico to the tip of Florida and then on up the East Coast. So it kind of just flows strongly and takes ships.
So they jump into that Gulf Stream and it's like a speed boost?
Basically.
Cool. I don't know. We're Midwest. I don't know enough about the ocean to come up with my own theory. Godzilla?
Godzilla.
Something's down there. It's deep. Yeah, we there can't has see what's down there yet.
I mean, Megalodon has to be.
Yeah, definitely the Meg.
It is definitely Megalodon.
What if we got hit with a giant old Kraken?
I mean, that would explain the ships completely disappearing.
Ugh, you pull a ship down and then you get these little snacks that pop out one by one. Some call them sailors. Yeah, so it could be a variety of situations. I think the biggest thing that kind of catches my attention is the fact that everyone's compasses keep messing up, and that's if you're in the middle of the ocean and it's daytime and your compass messes up, you can go in the wrong direction for hours without knowing it. So it's scary. It's a scary thing, the ocean. I'm going to stay landlocked. It's nice here in Minnesota. We got a lot of lakes, though. They're dangerous, too. So
they are.
Those are a few stories. Do you guys got any other theories you want to throw in there?
Other than Megalodon, no.
Okay, could have been a sky rhino. Could have been a sky rhino. Just going to throw that one out there. Don't want to rule anything out.
A sky rhino.
The sky rhino! You don't remember that thing? Oh, it scared the crap out of me. The sky rhino's coming for you. He took your parents. The sky rhino took James' parents. It's a horrible situation.
James and the giant peach.
Then he had to talk to a spider? So there's just a few stories with the Bermuda Triangle. There's a lot more out there, so if you're interested, just do a quick search. You'll be able to find it. And if you want us to dive a little more into it, let us know. And you can let us know on multiple channels. If you want to reach us on Twitter or Instagram, you can just search the Unsolved Dimension, look for that logo, and we'd be happy to have you join us. And you could also send us a message or send us a question, send us notes, send us your love through our Gmail at theunsolveddimension@gmail.com.
So catch us next week on The Unsolved Dimension.
Unsolved Dimension.
The Unsolved Dimension.
The Unsolved Dimension.
The Unsolved Dimension.